Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd, a doctor at our Valdez Medical Clinic, also an emergency doc at our Providence Hospital here in Valdez. We have a lot of topics to talk about. I know testing is a big one for many reasons. One, here locally, there's some testing being done of frontline workers, and so I wanted to get an update on that. I knew it was happening, as you told me last week, but I'm wondering if there's an update on how that's going or the process for that. And then also testing for interstate travel. And I was aware of the mandate and read through the details and read out, I think, the list of tests that the one test that was appropriate. And you say, since then, that mandate has changed. So we'll get the latest from you on that for travel from outside of the state and the test that's required. And then I had some questions too about World Health Organization, and
I don't know if I'm prepared for that. But yeah, we'll see if they're easy enough questions.
Trusty sources, you know, where do you look to? I'm wondering where you look to, and where the public should look to for accurate information, because that seems to be a bit of a challenge in understanding. Sometimes the information changes, the data changes, but there's also a lot of different sources and some.
Well, maybe somebody sitting at home who is unfortunately out of work has more time than I do to look at things.
Look at all these things.
But, you know, I'm reading the New England Journal and JAMA and all these medical journals all the time. And so the new stuff comes out on those even before it's totally published. So the things that are the studies that those decisions are being made on is where I'm going. Who may have a great site, but I just have never been there, so I can't.
Well, and I think that's where the federal government's sending everyone. The World Health Organization is where to look. So they did say asymptomatic people are a big threat, and then basically asymptomatic are not a big threat.
And, I haven't heard that.
One day apart, 24 hours apart, you know, and their figures range from 4% to 49%. So I think people are really challenged by their report. So what is the word then from the medical journals that you've been reading on asymptomatic
people? Well, for instance, there's some stuff saying is that I, as an older person, shouldn't be seeing people who have COVID. It turns out that in hospitals in China and whatever, that the people who knew they had patients with COVID actually didn't get sick any more than the people who had no patients with COVID. So people who didn't know that they had patients with COVID, who were in the emergency room with a person with a sprained ankle who was also about to start their cough the next day, they got sick. There are more family practitioners than any other specialty in the United States that are sick. Because it's when you don't know that the person in front of you has it. Because I don't know the newest information, so maybe I'm a day behind. But up until now, at least, we know that people are very symptomatic 2 or 3 days before they come down with symptoms, and then those first few days of symptoms. And what they're trying to pin down now is how long after you get out of the hospital, or even if you just had mild symptoms, how long are you contagious? And there's some newer stuff saying after about 8 days that, yes, you're still shedding virus, but maybe it's pieces of virus. The test that we do, the PCR test that we do, picks up virus. It doesn't say dead or alive. And so,
so you could have had it weeks ago.
Yeah, like probably I'm speculating, but probably the case in Valdez that the guy had been at negative test and then he was a positive test and he never did get sick, and it was so long.
And no one else in Valdez,
right? And it was so
around
long.
Him got,
you know,
sick.
That was probably dead virus is the guess, but that's all we can do is guess. So, you know, don't take that as the gospel truth. But that's going to happen with the tests that we have at the moment, and even when they culture the virus. And they can still culture it, meaning it's still alive. It's just not as strong. Maybe it's, I don't know why it's not as strong. But anyway, people do get better, and then they quit shedding the virus when they're not symptomatic anymore, way more than they did at the beginning. That's true of everything. You know, if you've got a cold, those few last little coughs 3 weeks later are not as bad as when you were, you know, putting snot all over everybody the first day. That's of a different virus. So then
if you do test positive, then you wait 2 weeks, then you kind of can assume that you're negative at that point.
Yeah, even if you're still shedding virus, they probably are dead ones. And so,
and the timing is a curious thing, because I know I had spoken with Dave Steerin from the state of Alaska and said, you know, the decision was interstate travel, need a test 3 days prior to coming. Well, it's very difficult to get a test 3 days prior. And I know some say, well, that's why it was set at 3 days. And, you know, and he wasn't sure. Why the 3 days? So is there relevance to tell us how timing fits into testing?
Okay, well, so obviously if you test right at your most contagious, you know, the day that you've got a temperature of 102 and whatever, it still not going to be perfect. They might miss this little Q-tip might miss the virus at that moment, but that's still going to be your highest yield. So, for instance, what we'd really like to do is test right before you go into surgery, but it takes a while to do the test. So it's been set at within 48 hours. We know that people who go into surgery who are sick with who have coronavirus do worse. The patient does worse. They're more likely to get respiratory complications, not to even to mention the anesthesiologist who might get coughed on while he's putting a tube down your throat so you can do your surgery. So it's bad for the caregivers, but it's also bad for the patient to do surgery. And so if you're going to have your hernia fixed and it could wait till you get over it, that would be much better. So we'd love to do it like 2 minutes before you go in there, because it's only a point in time. That test is like, are you shedding virus right now? And so, but we can't do it 2 minutes ahead of time. So they pick 48 hours as something somebody could do. So for instance, if you have to have surgery in Anchorage, you can get your test done here. We can do it that same day and you'd have the answer in your hand to go in and see the doc in Anchorage the day before and do your surgery the next day. That would all be within the 48 hours. And you wouldn't have made your trip to Anchorage, even though you're positive. You wouldn't have made an extra trip. So that's a convenient number. It is hard to get a test in any place, in lower 48 and whatever. And so so that's why they made it 72, to try to make it something doable. There's also a clause in the new mandate that has to do with, what if you got it within 5 days? It may look like it doesn't do you any good, but it actually does. So if you could get it within 5 days, that's better, because the chance you caught it was in... Did you catch it in 5 days,
or did you catch it in 3 days? And you have the latest update. So I'm going to let's go there and go to the interstate travel mandate. And you said there have been some changes. So I'm kind of anxious to hear what those are. Or to clarify what the testing is that's being required.
Right. Okay. And originally it said a PCR test, which is the one that we collect here and send to the state.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only place you can get that in Alaska is by sending it to the state from here, at least. And that got clarified, I would say, rather than changed, to say that the test we do here in the hospital, which is a rapid test, it's not really a PCR test, but they meant to include it. And I'm told that there are two kits that you can collect at home. It's been said, oh, you can do them at home. No, you don't get to do them at home, but you collect them at home and you mail them off to someplace. So if you were coming into the state as a resident and you were going off to your remote cabin in wherever, you don't have to make your way back to a testing station if you could find one of these kits. I don't know how available those kits are. I just heard about that yesterday. So, but there are two brands of kits that are approved for collect your own swabs, stick the Q-tip up your own nose, and then mail it off.
And we should make note that anyone that is traveling and wants to quarantine for 14 days, they can do that. And
right.
then they don't have to do the testing. But
exactly.
Just to be clear on the...
Yeah, if you're going to go to your remote cabin, maybe you should just go and stay. But anyway... So the difference is that used to be that the only option was to quarantine. And what you need to realize, if you're going to read this and understand it, is why is that any better, is that with the testing, you don't have to quarantine. So quarantine means do not contact anybody. So you're supposed to go to one place. So if you're in a motorhome, you have to go to one place and park your motorhome. You can't go touring all over the state. And you have to postpone going to any gatherings. You can't go to your family reunion. You're not supposed to go into a museum, even if you have your mask on. You can't do that if you're in quarantine. You can't go to any public place. You could go to your own yard because that's your private space, but you can't go to any public places except for medical care. You can't have anybody come into your room except for medical care. So you can let the EMTs in when you're gasping your last breath, but otherwise you can't.
The rest, maybe not around the rest of the state, but definitely here in Alaska, and certainly Valdez, the healthcare is still wanting a phone call from anyone to say for any appointments prior to coming.
Course.
So just if people are visiting and they're curious about that, and then you can go. I know KVKRadio.com, we have a directory and there's a medical directory on there. There's information kind of posted around town with those numbers with those phone numbers as well. So just so people who might be listening here know, you know, there is availability of medical and you folks are there to call, answer the phone. And,
yeah. So you can talk to people by phone, but you can't, you can't go anywhere except if you're sick. If you're under quarantine and you're not supposed to contact anybody. no visitors. And, you know, how are you, one of the frequently asked questions on the state website said, well, how am I supposed to eat? Well, then you get your groceries delivered to your room. That's quarantine. And so self-isolation that we were doing in town was a little bit different than that. But when you came in from another state, you were supposed to quarantine for 14 days.
And it's also worth mentioning, too, that although Valdez is not really set up with like Grubhub or, you know, a lot of these other services the big areas have, many of our local merchants are really trying to work with people. So if you do have a need to have an item, groceries delivered, make a phone call.
Yep.
And there are groups that are helping accommodate people. So, mm-hmm. There's a Facebook group that people can
find
assistance here. So even though we don't have the big, you know, 1-800 numbers, is assistance
and
to
we have
make
neighbors.
That happen.
But your neighbor is not supposed to bring you your groceries and put them in your kitchen if you're under quarantine. They're supposed to leave them on your front porch. That's quarantine. Okay, so with these new rules, which I'll get to in a minute, there's a different thing called minimizing interactions.
And this is just, to be clear, this is just for the average Joe.
I'm trying to minimize interactions also.
Yes.
We still have.
I mean, it's for everyone, right?
Yeah, everyone should be able to name all the people that they saw in the last 2 weeks if you've got your bubble small enough. But minimizing if you do all these steps that I'll go through in a minute, coming into the state, all you have to do is minimize interactions as opposed to quarantine. So what that means is you could get in your RV and travel around and not linger in the store and chit-chat with everybody, but you could eat outside at a restaurant, or you could go get your own takeout if you're minimizing interactions. Whereas if you're in quarantine, you can't do that. So, and the don't go to the museum, why don't you go do something outside? That's minimizing interactions. But you can't even think about going outside except when there's no people if you're under quarantine. Yes, you're supposed to wear a mask. If you have to go on a shuttle to the hotel, you can do that when you're minimizing interactions, but you're not supposed to do that when you're under quarantine. So minimizing interactions is way better for tourists or
and
people who have to go to a job or whatever.
As relates to interstate travel, if you don't take the test, you're expected to quarantine. If you do take the test and are negative, then you can minimize interactions.
Exactly.
Right? So you have a list of...
So who can minimize interactions instead of being under quarantine? So there's some specific groups, people who are part of the critical infrastructure or the seafood and the fishermen, they have their own rules. And so they're under those rules.
And it's important because a lot of people say, well, here's what my husband does or here's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really relate because this new mandate is kind of really for folks who don't fit under those broader policies that have been looked at and approved by the state and are already kind of underway. This is kind of for
everybody
else. I think as Dave Stearin, you know, announced, it's just kind of for the average person or the tourists. And, you know, I think everyone thinks, oh, these tourists who just have nothing better to do. Well, maybe you need to come here to care for an older person. Or there's a lot of reasons people travel. So, you know, I think one thing is kind of to be a little aware that, you know, I guess the whole world should be a little aware of putting people into different groups right now.
But they had to work out specific things with the fish processors because that is an essential industry. If we do away with all the fish and all the pork and all the everything, we won't have anything to eat. So,
and they actually proactively got together and came up with rules and they seem to be working. So
they've got their own rules and those are very important people to make sure we get it right because they live in such crowded conditions and sometimes in very remote spots, way more remote
than
Valdez.
And come from lots of different places.
And so anyway, they've got their own rules. People who are in critical infrastructure, like, oh, I've got to go do something for Alyeska and I'm the only one that can do it and I came from out of state. They have specific rules at their company and they are under full quarantine when they're off work. So they're not getting off the hook. But they have to have special rules for fishermen. Like, well, does it count when you're out crossing the Gulf? Is that part of your quarantine period? Well, yeah, it is. So, you know, they've got very specific rules for those guys. But anyway, everybody else coming into the state, if you are a local resident and you leave for less than 5 days, you just go and come back for something or other. On arrival, you are supposed to do a test And they have those in the airport at the moment.
I was going to say, you can either do it prior to coming back.
No, that one is actually on arrival.
Just at the airport.
That one's on arrival.
Okay.
But then you're supposed to self-quarantine the whole nine yards until the test is back, which isn't going to take that long. And then...
So, do you have any word on how fast, if you get the test at the airport? That's been a question, Ola. You can just get it at the airport and then...
Well, this was put into place for very good reasons, kind of before they got all worked out.
The details.
And so, it doesn't that always happen.
But
they're working on it really hard. And for instance, if you go to the state's website, which is great, by the way, covid19.alaska.gov. It has a whole bunch of stuff in there. Their frequently asked questions is fantastic.
If you've got hours of time, there's info.
And if they're going to fix it, you know, if they're going to give you the newest information, that's where it is. So covid19.alaska.gov, if you want to read this all through for yourself. But anyway, so if you self-quarantine until that's back, and it's probably going to be a couple days, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you have to do a second test in 7 to 14 days. Everything's 7 to 14 days to check again to see if we just missed it the first time because you were not quite contagious yet. So anyway, you do that second test. But in between those two, you just have to do minimize interactions. And then after the second test, you can go do anything you want.
Okay. And what if like somebody makes their way to Valdez and it's time for their second test?
Well,
we don't really have them available for folks who are not symptomatic.
We're going to add those people into the people we're doing in the parking lot in the drive-thru.
The drive-by. Okay.
Yeah.
Not drive-by.
How often we're going to have to do that, what the hours are going to be, remains to be determined because we don't know what volume. Is this three people or is this 300 people? We don't know that yet. Probably not 300, but we don't know that yet. If they open the border with Canada, everything changes. Because remember, people come into Alaska, not just at the airport. We think at the airport, but
and for folks who aren't aware, right now Canada is really the one closing down the border,
right?
Not Alaska. So in order to get into Alaska, to go through Canada, you have to have an Alaska driver's license,
or you have to have documents that say I have a job that I have to get there for.
Yeah, and they are monitoring that.
And you do not get through Canada unless you can prove you're coming home or you have a job here. So,
and kind of limited by the economy right now because flights are super limited because there's just not a demand for flights. So flights have been canceled all over the place. So anyways, I don't think we can expect, you know, thousands of travelers.
No, but we don't.
But if the
we don't
border,
know yet, you know, so
yeah.
So right at the moment you asked about testing before. Mm-hmm. I'll do a little side bar there that we did 70 hospital employees the first week we did it.
And this is just in Valdez.
In Valdez, yeah. We did 70 hospital employees. And then the next week we did 40 about people who are otherwise involved in healthcare. Like EMTs and my staff at the clinic and the people from the hospital that missed it the first time, you know, that kind of people. And then the third round we invited a different group of people. What we're trying to work up to is...
So are the results back from those yet?
Yeah, those went to the state.
So I would assume...
Yeah, everybody was negative so far, you know,
of
all those
know.
Groups.
Yeah. Because you would anticipate, you know, if you're just testing lots of random people, you know, not random people, but, you know, you're kind of going systematically, but still the more people you test, the more probability you get.
And we hope to be able to do this over again because, you know, maybe the people at the Safeway are okay now, but after they have more contact with other people.
And just to be clear, it is a voluntary test. So, and it's voluntary different ways, right? So maybe an employer chooses to make it a requirement of work, but also they may not. They may elect to give their employees the choice whether or not to take the test. So just so you don't assume, all this group.
This isn't the city saying you have to do it. This is the city offering it.
Offering to do it, and it is a voluntary test. So I just want to be clear with that. And I'm sure some folks have chosen not to.
I'm sure, and also they missed it. You know, they were on vacation that day, and so they're into the you know, they're using their ticket for a different week because so they did about 40 people yesterday. Also, the caregivers of the Frontier and the Connecting Ties folks. Folks I like to call Harborview graduates, some of them, and not all of them, but the people that are caring for those people is just the same as somebody caring for somebody in long-term care, except that it's not a congregate living situation. Anyway, so those people were included in that first round.
And so if someone in this voluntary testing is positive, they're treated just like any other positive with the contact tracing and then 14 days and follow-up testing.
Yeah, depending on whether they get sick
really
or not.
Really super simple, didn't I? But yeah. Those are the basic tenets of it.
So the negative ones are going to get a, we're still working this out because, okay, what do we do with it? All the hospital employees, that was really easy, but all these people from all over the community, probably you're going to get a text saying, COVID test negative. And believe me, if there's a positive, the public health nurse will contact you. But if there's a negative, just to make sure that you didn't get lost in the shuffle, we have ways to make sure that everybody's test comes back from the state and then...
And they're notified. What is the turnaround time on those first ones?
It depends on whether it's a weekend or not, okay. That sort of thing. Remember, we still don't have any planes, so everything leaves town on a truck at 6:30 in the morning.
Now we don't.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, maybe this new service is going to pick up that. I don't know. Yeah. But there's a lot of I don't knows in this in this scenario that we're working on really hard to make sure that no test gets lost. Get the answers as fast as you can. My staff got theirs on their tests on a Thursday, and we got the answers back on a Tuesday.
Well, and I can imagine there was a lot of relief, right?
Even though they were, we would have heard about it by now, but when the official result came back, people want to know. So
for the average person out there, if someone thinks they have a need or they have a reason that, because at this point you kind of still need a reason. Here in Valdez, you can't just say, I think I want to take a test.
Yeah.
And right now, a good reason has been expanded to, I'm a frontline worker. So if you have not been approached, Olivia Foster, you said at Providence, is the person to contact. If somebody is frontline worker and...
Especially if a business... I remember at one of the noon meetings or 1 o'clock meetings of the... somebody said, hey, can you add my business in there? And I can't remember who it was. But we're trying to hit the senior center.
Maybe we just didn't think of it.
We just didn't think of them. And so if you think you have a group of people or you're a sole proprietor or whatever, and you want to be added in.
That testing going? To explain drive-by testing.
I was asking Pauline, who has been in charge of it. Pauline's the assistant.
I drive by the parking lot, but I believe it's in the back side of the parking lot.
No,
right?
It's where Harvard used to be. It's between us and the dog park.
But it's basically just a white tent set up,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And so if you're in your car already, then you just stay in your car and you have this swab put back in your nose. And if you've registered ahead of time, it is fantastic because they on the phone, they'll take your name and your phone number for response back to you and that sort of thing. And so then they've got a label all printed up for you. And you just show up at the registration and you give them your name and you show them your, if they didn't know me, I'm sure they would have asked me for a driver's license to prove it was me or whatever. But I don't get that because they kind of know me at the hospital.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have the sticker to put right on the, they have the stickers all ready to put on the specimens to identify them. And then you go and they do the Q-tip thing and those people all have to have protective equipment on. So it's nice to batch these because those people could do one person with all their protective equipment or they could do 40 people with all their protective equipment. So it saves not only time but equipment to do that. And they do that and you go right on your business. And I will say that my nose kind of felt weird for an hour or two and, no big deal. They haven't had anybody get a nosebleed.
How long does it take?
How long is it you have to leave it in there 10 seconds.
But the time from you driving up to...
So I walked up, so it took me a little bit longer because I have to walk, Yeah. But, I don't know, 10 minutes.
All right, so not too bad. And just the main hospital line and ask for Olivia Foster if people feel like they're frontline and they wanted to get the test.
Yeah, and want to see... And we'll get them scheduled into
And where
there.
Do you see it going from there? Like, is it a goal to get everyone in Valdez tested?
We would love to get it so that you could get one on demand. But right at the moment, we're going to have to see what happens with these travelers. So probably if you get a voucher at the airport for another test at 7 to 14 days later, we'll probably put those people into this same testing situation.
Okay, so you'll be honoring those vouchers here in Valdez.
Nobody's figured out how,
but you will.
We will. We'll figure it. This is all new this week, right? Remember, hasn't happened for more than... They put this into account on the 6th. So... Does this seem like a long time?
Yeah, a few people make the decisions and then a lot of the folks who have to implement this are not, they're trying to do their normal thing and all these extra, everybody's in that boat, right? Everybody's trying to do Well, we're trying. Everybody's life has turned more complicated and more changed than ever before, yeah. And so I have to remind myself to be mindful of that with people.
So remember, what if you say, well, what if I'm going to, I don't know which state, I don't know whether there are any other states that have this kind of mandate, but if there were, can I get a test this way in order to have my little chit in my hand so that if I go to Utah, I've got my thing in my hand. We don't know whether there are any, I don't know whether there are any other states, but yeah. I think all of that is evolving so fast that you just kind of have to call it the time. I will say that the COVID-19.alaska.gov site was great, except that it thinks that the public health nurse is where the old Tesoro station used to be.
Oh.
And and they are not doing tests. So it says that they are. You could tell they put it up yesterday and they haven't corrected it yet. So don't take, call ahead to any testing site in Anchorage that you think you're going to or whatever, because things change by the day. Anyway, so back to who can get this test. So the trip of less than 5 days, you have to do self-quarantine until you get the test back, but you could probably get one at the airport. And then you have to do a second test and where you're just doing the minimum interactions between those two tests. Because we just want to catch the people that we missed, that weren't quite sick enough or that the swab missed the virus. We're just doing two tests pretty much on everybody. If you're outside the state for more than 5 days, you're counted the same as everybody else visiting. And so you can self-quarantine for 14 days, as we said. Or if you have a test and you can get a test in Seattle or Portland or wherever you are, and you got the piece of paper in your hand when you arrive at the airport, then you don't have to self-quarantine until the test gets back. So they're willing to do a test on you in the airport. Somebody who was just there said that it maybe took half an hour to be in the line. And, so it wasn't totally onerous, but if there's three planes coming in at a time, it could be. I mean, nobody knows, but for him, it wasn't a super long line, but he had his little piece of paper, so he didn't need it.
I think you were saying too, initially, they just had one type of test. So if you were going to, and I think the state of Alaska also has encouraged people to do the test outside of Alaska. And
I think
that's more to not impact our financial situation or our resources. But if you do that, there are more types of tests that are acceptable, right, than initially reported?
Well, it's not just the PCR. It's the PCR and the test that we do here, which is a little bit different. But it's ones that pick up the virus. What is not allowable, even if you get it from someplace else, is it doesn't count for this. It's not, you can't get the test. But I'm immune because I've already had it. Those tests are too iffy, and the state is not accepting those. So there's no get-out-of-jail-free card of, I've already had it, I'm fine, I don't have to do the test. No, you do have to do the test to prove you don't have a virus oozing for your body at this moment, okay? So anyway, if you do it within 72 hours, you can just come in and skip that first one at the airport. And then you're just minimizing interactions until you get the second test, as opposed to quarantine, which is really a different thing. They've got another one that's very confused. It's like, wait a minute, what is it about getting a test within 5 days? What good does that do me? Well, you still have to take the test at the airport on arrival and wait for that one. But then you're into minimizing interactions between those two instead of self-quarantine. So basically what we're trying to do is, because the test is only a point in time, it's only right then, is we're trying to get it as close as possible to when you come to Alaska. And they would really like people to get it before they come, because especially people who are visitors, maybe this isn't a big deal for us who live here, but if you're a visitor and you plan your Alaska vacation and you come up here and you're COVID positive,
you're going to have to turn around.
No, you can't leave, because they won't let you back on the plane.
Yeah,
you don't want that person on the plane coughing on everybody. So you are going to have to pay for your own hotel and your own room service and your own whatever. And yes, we don't want them in our hospitals because we don't want to fill up our hospitals, but still, it could be very expensive for you as a visitor. So they want people to check before they come for all kinds of reasons.
So you mentioned that, like, someone may test positive because they previously had the virus and there's a dead virus cell. At what point have a lot of people had it and recovered from it, but they're still testing positive?
They're unlikely to test positive, but when you see these people who are, days out, and there probably will be some public health way to get around that if you're somebody who's...
So I mean, likely, we kind of make all these rules.
Exceptions
and we have all
will
these
come,
things,
yeah.
But also, can't anticipate that they're all going to stay, you know, even these, you know, Hulu knows how long that will be the way that it's handled, because the situation is changing. Yeah. and maybe better tests to determine.
Yeah, the tests may get more specific. The tests may change.
Yeah. All right. Man, we covered a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. And the good news, we always got to hit some of the good news, is the weather has been amazing. People mm-hmm. can get outside. We haven't had a lot of positives. Alaska, one of the lowest states in the nation, the lowest. I think we're going back and forth.
But remember, if you look at the grid for how many cases, how many new cases and whatever, Alaska is headed up just like it was back at the beginning. Well, and so we need to flatten that curve again.
And you have to look at demographics. Like we're also, I think there was some statistics, you know, we are less populated. So obviously it's easier to self-isolate. Many of those things.
Oh yeah, we have it good, but it's not perfect. And they have shown very nicely nowadays, you know, what else is new on the stuff that I'm reading. They did studies on, you know, how likely were you to catch it, depending on how far apart you were. At 1 meter, these are studies from all over the world, so they're not in feet anymore. 1 meter, 3 feet, you're 80% less likely. At 2 meters, you were 90% less likely. At 3 meters, you were 95% less likely to have the virus get on you and give you the disease.
But it's still important to use 6 feet.
Yeah, and masks cut it down by 85%. For us working directly with people, wearing eye covering cut it down by 85%. So that stuff does work. And it's not, remember the mandate, or not the mandate, the recommendation is not distance or a mask if you're going to be at the post office. It's both. It's a mask to cut down most of the droplets, and then 6 feet also. And isn't that an easy thing to do? Compared to having to go back to, no, you have to get your groceries sent to you because we're all self-isolating again. And no, we have to close the airports again. Nobody can come in again. And you have to go back to self-quarantine. If people will really do, you know, there's no reason you can't do minimizing interactions all the time. And the restaurants can stay open.
I don't need people that close to me, like most of the time, year round.
So. Exactly. Yeah. And so if we can do some of those, you know, it's not like all or nothing. And I see
there's just a lot of, when you look at other places, there are just a lot of situations. I'm from California, so you look at many situations and it's just not possible to stay 6 feet away from people in so many situations.
Yeah.
So
you're in New York, you go out, and there's the elevator with four people in it.
So look outside and see outside is where a lot of those opportunities lie here, which isn't that great. And I just read something too, that we're one of the better Hawaii and Alaska, that the health is actually improving in many places. And that is because, you know, I think it's not winter and we're all, you know, a lot of people get out in the winter also, but I think more so, you know, people are getting outside and they're doing more things. And that's, you know, that's a Benny we have being here and take advantage
and
of that.
You know, I know a lot of people depend on the tourists and the fishermen and whatever for their livelihood. And that's important. But if we all play it safe and wash our hands a lot and wear the face coverings in public and if you go to the grocery store, oh, well, I'm only going to put it on when somebody's within 6 feet of me. No, just put it on, you know, just wear it. And hopefully our visitors will notice that that's what you do here.
Well, and within our state, you know, Alaska as a whole is got pretty low numbers. So in-state tourism is pretty safe. I mean, mm-hmm. I compare it to having in-state.
Yes, but don't try to analyze whether the other person coming down the aisle at you is from Fairbanks or whether they're from New York. Stay away from them.
Yeah, you can observe all of that. But some folks are very, you know, very worried about everyone. You can't really guess. You need to observe these things.
You need to. That's exactly right. Since you can't guess. It was interesting in China, in one of these studies, with the people who were taking care of the people in the ICU, the people who were absolutely sick, when they were in taking care of them, they had on all the equipment and they did not catch it from them. They caught it on the street. So because there were so many people on the street that weren't symptomatic and had it, they caught it more coming and going from work than they did at work because they were wearing their spacesuits at, at their hazmat suits at work. And so it is walking down the street. Not as much here as in New York, for heaven's sakes. And we have wider sidewalks. But
should see, you know, with that theory, we should see more positive cases due to all of this rioting around. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's an interesting study right now.
There are some studies that have documented like a 10 or 20% surge a week after the protests when everybody was very close together and yelling in each other's faces. And when I see some of those protests, some protests are social distancing, and it will be, here we have an experiment. We will see whether the protests.
It is kind of a live culture that.
Yeah. That's not the best way to do your experiment. But anyway, we don't have to do that in Alaska. If we could.
We don't even have enough time to go into that.
No, we're not going to go into that.
But we do appreciate the information and the updates. And probably worth noting, if you're that state site, if you are looking for any information about interstate travel, their Alaska, COVID-19.alaska.gov is the spot to go for updated mandates, because many of those mandates, you know, they'll send out releases when they're first issued, but then they change those mandates and there are not notifications that they're being changed. So definitely go to the, you know, even if you see a mandate that was published a week ago, go back to the state site and find that original mandate.
Yeah,
and,
like
and
the, that's what that's the names what of the tests you can get to do it at home.
Yeah, so little
are on there. They don't have the addresses of where to get them yet, but I bet they will later on.
So. Yeah, so little finite pieces are being added and changed. So definitely make sure you look. You know, and we post a lot of that information when it comes out, and it comes to us on kvakradio.com. But if you are wanting to go travel, go find, you know, if it's more than a day old, I would go to the state site and look up that information on that site, because there are lots of changes and not always notifications in the town hall meetings or the media briefings that those things are being changed. So, and I think they are having meetings behind the scenes with different industries and,
and
what have you. There's a lot going on out there, but they really have captured not only the case count information. I still trying to get them to break out Valdez and Cordova census area.
That census area, I thought that was the whole sound, our census area. That is not true. Our census area includes Paxson and McCarthy. And so our census area is huge. And it turns out that the rule for reporting cases is that they will say the name of the town if it's more than 1,000 people, or if that town says, yes, you can report us. So report it as being here. So for instance, we know about a case in Cordova because there are over 1,000 people, or a case in Valdez because we're over 1,000 people, or in Whittier because their mayor said, here's my press release. But if it says there's a case in our census area and they don't put anything on it, it could be any place from way up above Paxson to...
And I'm trying to figure that out because I did talk to the state and said, can I find out if that was in? And I got the answer, it's in the Valdez. We have those together. Well, thank you for clarifying that. That's what I told you when I asked why, and so apparently I believe that information is going to Valdez Unified Command. But, you know, if there's a Whittier press release, but I'm completely unaware of that. So
right,
now so I know I can proactively call. I'm not getting, you know, any information coming this way, but I can call and try to clarify. So I will be doing that.
So Allie Furco, the public information officer for the city of Valdez, does go to some sort of briefing where she would find out.
Has that information.
If anybody does, but it could be that there's a case in, you know, halfway between Paxson and Glen Allen. And what city is going to do a press release on them? There's no city there. So basically, you're going to hear about
individual cases from
Cordova. You're going to hear about cases from Cordova, cases from Valdez, and then cases from other. And that's all that the state will officially let out. And so,
and it's all new. So I'm not really even sure. You know, I knew I would get information on the first case, second case. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. So, well, I guess we'll find out. But there's a lot that I hear on the streets and go, well, I don't know. So it's all new, but we do have more testing happening. Do you have any idea how many tests you'll get through this week or that are scheduled? I know that's a whole
We did it on Tuesday this week. And so, yes, yesterday they did something like 40, again, on the scheduled asymptomatic thing.
And how
so right now, we remember, if you have any symptoms whatsoever, we would love to test you. We'd be happy to do that. People who in town who need to go in for surgery or whatever to Anchorage, we can do that test here before you leave so that you don't end up in Anchorage with having to stay an extra day in a hotel among all those people who are also staying there because they're self-quarantining because they just got here. anyway, so you can get your test here, but there are limited resources. So right at the moment, you can't just jump on that line at the hospital, and we're hoping that the resources will increase enough that we can
do
that.
How many tests do you anticipate doing this, you know, like a week? Do you have certain days?
Well, they can do probably, well, that first 70 worked out great because all those people were pre-registered. So if everybody is pre-registered, they can probably do 100 in that day. That's not the limiting factor. The limiting factor is the lab at the other end and what they're willing to process.
And I know you said you don't want to send them too much because you don't want them to say, whoa, slow down. So
exactly. And so, and it may be that we're also going to be able to say, oh, okay, well, the state's not taking ones from travelers anymore, but we will be glad to collect it for you and send it to, LabCorp in San Diego or something like that. So all of that is evolving. I don't want to speculate on what it's going to be like next week and just
all right, but we know what it is today, so that's that's we're better than we were yesterday. So thanks for coming in.
All right.